Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along or have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be talking about the new Alexandria mission from Halo Reach on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the Exodus mission from Halo Reach. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Tell him to make it count, George's final words, because he's dead and not alive in any way, because he exploded.
Gasp. All right, last mission, we caught a ride on a Saber, did a little flying in outer space, planted a slip space drive on a Covenant carrier, which, at the affirmation George, drove Dr. Strangelove style into the long night of Sala's supercarrier. Then a bunch more aliens show up. In this mission, we dust ourselves off from a fall from outer space, avoid a gaggle of suicide grunts, meet a new enemy type in the Brutes, and we steal their gravity hammer. After we secure a landing zone for some evacuees, we hop a Falcon to activate some missiles to help some more civilians GTFO Reach. Because no one wants to be on Reach anymore.
No, it's an awful place.
The date in this game, which we need to talk about, is August 23rd, 2552. So this is 2 weeks afterwards. How is this 2 weeks
it's crazy.
Afterwards?
I want a book about these 2 weeks of Noble Six just wandering around the wastelands. I want a short story.
Well, that's what I'm presuming happened. That, like, he crash-landed nowhere near New Alexandria, and it took him the guts of 2 weeks to pretty much get here.
And to get healed, because he was injured when he fell, because he had, like, a weird limpy thing going on.
Mm. Well, you still start the mission with, like, less than full health.
You do,
so
yeah.
So you're still injured, technically.
Yeah, that's true.
As the mission starts.
Yeah, that was actually a nice tie-in to him. But it's not really clear with that cutscene that, you know, you figure you just fell and then, like, I don't know, you were knocked out for an hour. But no, you were knocked out for a while.
Well, if you notice the, like, time of days very different between the beginning of that cutscene and then the part of the cutscene where you're coming up on Exodus. So, I mean, there's some time difference, but it's not, it's like, I mean, the longest I ever thought this pause was, like, a couple of days, not 2 weeks of him, you know, punching Moas in the face and eating them, which is what I would do. I mean,
well, yeah, obviously. He's got to survive.
Making them Moa burgers.
I'll avenge you, George. You always hated Moas.
How do they sustain themselves wearing their suit that long? Do they, like, pop open the visor and eat a burger? Or
yeah, take their helmets off,
yeah, I would imagine.
Noble team's pretty free with taking their helmets off in this game.
That's true. Except for our guy, Noble Six. Our guy. Needs a room.
And I don't think Emil ever takes his off.
No.
Oh, that's true.
You see some of Emil's face in the next, not the next mission, but the second to last mission, you can find an Easter egg of a little bit of Emil's face. But that's for another episode.
So we are wandering around New Alexandria. We find New Alexandria. Start wandering around, and there's a whole lot of dead bodies around.
A couple.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of angry grunts that are just ready to take you out and themselves.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys do? What was the best way for you to take those grunts out?
Oh, I just made David go first and let him kill himself.
Oh, that's right. We got to talk about it. You guys did co-op.
We did. This is
the first one. We actually tested to see how co-op worked with Reach, and it worked pretty damn well. We had, like, two segments where, like, it kind of cut out and a little bit laggy, but it was actually perfect.
Yeah, instead of Reach, like, getting really laggy, it would kind of take you to a loading screen and be, like, reconnecting for a couple seconds, then take you back into the game to kind of avoid the laggy parts, which was really nice. It worked well. So, I mean, we didn't have too many complaints.
I wonder if they patched that in, because I think I tried messing around with Reach right when it came out, backwards compatibility-wise. And it was a little rough, so they probably fixed a couple things, just made some quality of life improvements.
I can think of another game they could fix.
I think they're working on it. When I found out that you guys played a co-op, And then I was playing through it by myself. I ended up getting jealous. This is actually a good mission to play co-op.
Aw, you should have just thrown us a text, been like, I'm all alone. I'm really sad. I heard you guys were hanging out without me.
I've been wandering around for 2 weeks by myself.
My heart's a little hurt. Please, will someone play with me? Someone play with Colin. He deserves it.
I'm a sad boy. Sad, lonely boy. Aww. What else? So then we meet some grunts. I just took them out kind of headshot style with a pistol. The pistol ended up working the best for me. I died a lot in this mission, playing on heroic still. I don't know if it was because I was playing late last night and I was tired, but it felt like they've stepped it up a little bit more in terms of different ways you can die. And I tend to be a little more Rambo-ish when it comes to Halo, so maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, that grunt part just sucks, so...
Well, and towards the end of the mission, too, like that last open scene, which we'll get to, that one's kind of rough by yourself, too. I mean, unless you know, kind of remember where to go.
David and I did just fine.
I'm sure. See? Jealous. Where else? So where does that take us to? So we go and we meet some brutes, right?
Lots of brutes. Hairless brutes that look weird.
Let's hear everybody's pronunciation of Girilane.
Girilane. Krista?
Ooh,
Girilane.
All right, we all got it. I think that's how you actually pronounce it.
I mean, boom. We listen to audiobooks once in a while, so that's a great way to pick up on pronunciations.
And hope that they're pronouncing it right.
I would imagine 343 would force them to say it right.
Well, that's that. Did you, I had a gravity hammer the entire mission after that. Did you guys tote one around, or what'd you do?
Not really. I'm more of a DMR person, so I kind of carried that around.
Mm. Kind of like that. I'm not big in melee, and I've never really took to the hammer that much, and I think it's kind of harder to use in the harder difficulties because you got to get up close and stuff like that. So yeah. I actually always like to take the turret. I pull the turret off, and I kind of go around with that for a little while. There's also like there's plenty of good weapons in this mission, like I found a shotgun and stuff like that. There's plenty of snipers and later on rocket launchers and stuff, so I keep swapping them a lot. This mission, I think I played a lot with the shotgun and the DMR.
I didn't think of the shotgun, but that's up close. Anyway.
Yeah, that's
well, the Halo Reach shotgun has a pretty good spread on it as well.
That's true.
It does. It's a good shotgun.
So I got a little ahead of myself. I did want to talk about the opening cutscene, and we touched on it, but I felt like the music did a great job of making it feel very dire.
It was so sad.
Mm-hmm. It cuts in, and the cinematic we've already touched on, but the music really helps set the tone, and you're kind of creeping around the city trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, there's a very definite change in the tone of the game, I think, in this mission. Like, after the big George's death, and it's very apparent then that, like, Reach is kind of doomed. Do you know what I mean? There's a conversation at the end of this in one of the things where they kind of pretty much spell it out for you. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I get the whole feel of the game, I think, changes in this mission.
Yeah, it's really after, like, that last cutscene of Long Night of Solace when you see all the Covenant carriers drop in. That's definitely the turning point in the game. Because, I mean, once George dies, it's kind of a victory for about 5 seconds, and then all those other carriers start coming in, and it's... Right. You kind of realize that this is not a happy game. This isn't going to end well for anyone.
The other thing that they added was the radio chatter, which I felt was better implemented than the radio chatter in the previous mission when you're flying around. The comments at least added to the sense of, like, oh, crap, there's some bad stuff happening. People are not doing well. I need it almost not quite to a panic, but you're like, oh, I gotta get to help these people, right?
Well, and also everyone's like, a Spartan? What the hell? Where'd you come from? I was just hanging out in the woods for 2 weeks while everyone was dying. It's fine. Eating my Moa burgers. Delicious, delicious Moa burgers. Would you like one?
I took some screenshots of that because I'd never seen it before. I think I'd heard you talk about it before, but like I hadn't actually seen it. So you actually pointed it out to me. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was some so the Moa Burgers are actually, there's a sign somewhere?
There's a little fast food kiosk. It's right after you get through the suicide grunts, you're kind of in that open area where the brutes are picking up civilians and kind of shaking them around. On the upper left-hand corner before you enter the next building, there's a food kiosk, and it's just got a bunch of food items, and it's like, new Moa burgers, $7.77.
Is that
already
how much?
Credits
oh,
there?
Nice.
Are they cents?
Yeah, that's...
Or is it in credits?
What? Oh, it's in credits, yeah.
Yeah.
They do
so I could buy...
Two,
well, we'll have to figure out how many Moa burgers
oh,
I could
Krista,
buy.
Do the math there.
That'll be for next episode. I'll figure that out.
They do a good job of definitely making you feel like you're in, like, the setting, the map is very city-like, so it does make you feel like, granted, you know, there is a path, but it does make you feel like you can kind of go all over and explore different areas. There's a lot of balconies, lots of balconies in this mission, as you'll find out as you
There's a lot of weapons hidden on those balconies as well, which is nice.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah, there's, like, sniper rifles and rocket launchers and shit up there. So explore everything and keep the jetpack through the whole mission.
And you get the jetpack. They kind of force you to take the jetpack. I want to talk about really quick the gravity hammer. So while we're talking about that, do you know if you can do an armor lock and take a gravity hammer hit?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
That's great.
Armor lock is immune to everything.
It is everything. Okay. I wasn't sure if you know, rock, paper, scissors, gravity hammer beats armor lock. But no, that's cool. That's pretty nuts.
I think so.
Yeah, I enjoy just whacking everybody possible. I tried to save it for the brutes every once in a while. I take out a grunt just because I needed to. But then their bodies go flying. It feels real good.
It's amazing.
There was a few brutes, and I'm forgetting what they're called, but like the ones with all the armor. And actually the brutes that have gravity hammers, they take two hits.
Chieftains?
On heroic, anyway.
Or is it the captains or the chieftains? The one with the overshield?
I forget what they kind of look like. They're in like almost samurai armor, maybe.
Yeah, that's the chieftain.
Yeah, I always. That's the chieftain. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the guys. They take two hits, two gravity hammer hits, which shows you how strong they are. Because you take one and you're done.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But everybody else, you know, is one and they're out and they go flying across the room, which feels real good. How did you guys do on the jump? So then we keep going, and when we do our jetpacks, how did you guys do on the jetpack section, co-op style?
David fell.
I like these guys. It's really easy, but like I like the idea of bullfrogs. It's like a cool name of these ODST squads with jetpacks that just jump around, and it's kind of cool. I like it, but it's an easy section.
Anybody get Destiny vibes here?
A little bit. With the jetpacks?
You guys didn't think about that? That was like the first thing I thought about. I was like, oh, they're testing more stuff for Destiny.
No, I didn't think about that, but yeah, probably.
Jumping puzzle.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Well, that's a fairly loose puzzle.
It is, yeah.
Well, yeah, but still. Something just to mix it up. Mix it up a bit. And then, so we do that jump packing, and then I feel like I got lost at one point, like trying to find my way up to the roof. It's not super clear. And granted,
it's on the other side.
Eventually. Well,
the entrance is on the other side.
There's lots of balconies, and I got confused. Finally, the waypoint popped up, and I was like, "All right, I'm there."
Yeah, it is a bit confusing. I think I've just done it so many times now that I just do it, go there instinctively.
How often?
And Krista has it memorized.
Do you just play
the
campaign like ever so often? Do you just like once a year type of thing? Or
yeah.
Just...
Yeah, I try to.
I try to go through all of the Halo campaigns at least once a year. Just to do a big run through.
That's cool. I mean, do you do it on just a normal, or do you do it on harder levels?
It just depends on which game I'm playing and how fast I want to get through it.
How you're feeling that day.
Yeah, how I'm feeling. Because, I mean, it's nice to run through those games to get a refresher every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just fresh.
Exactly. Especially being a Halo podcaster. Such as yourself.
Am I?
You're a big
deal. Sure are,
Krista. You're a big deal? Is that what you're going to say?
Am I a big deal? I don't think so.
Maybe one day.
Oh, a big deal? Certainly not.
Thanks, David.
All right.
Couldn't do it without
you, Krista. Go secure that landing pad. And this part, I died quite a bit when we secured that first landing pad. But I think that's because I had my gravity hammer and I just wanted to whack everybody. But there's a guy in the center that has the fuel rod cannon.
Yeah, that guy's a jerk.
And I think this is the first time we've seen a fuel rod cannon, too.
No, we've seen it a couple times, because a bunch of the grunts had them, too.
Grunts had them, yeah.
Oh, okay. Forgot about
Tip
that.
Of the spear, when you're in the spire, there's grunts with fuel rod cannons up in the kind of command area.
waiting for you.
But that those things are pretty ominous. When you see all of a sudden your screen light up in green, you're like, I'm done.
David and I took such a wide high area road on that one, on that part of the mission. Because there's a bunch of balconies up top, yeah.
Yep.
There's different entrances there, to that room.
But then he took me out a couple times.
He's a bitch on Legendary. This section is an absolute bitch on Legendary.
If you have a plasma pistol, it's not as bad. Because basically, I mean, the rule of Halo, if you're playing on Legendary, you need a plasma pistol.
Gotta get those shields down, yo.
Don't waste your ammos.
Yeah, that's true. Don't waste ammo on the shields. That makes sense. So then we have to take out one of what are the turrets called?
Shade turrets.
The shade turrets. That's right. We've seen a couple of those already. Got to take that out, and then we get another dropship full of bad guys, more brutes. How do you guys feel about adding brutes at this point of the mission? I feel like they did a good job. You know, typically they kind of do a build up, and it's like, okay, it was about time to add a new enemy type.
A new enemy type, yeah. It's also the only mission in the game that doesn't have any elites in it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. But they're not too friendly, right? So that kind of makes sense?
Yeah, I think that may be deliberate, that they segregate whatever missions or areas that elites are fighting in and brutes are fighting in.
It also just makes sense because, I mean, elites are, at this point in the Covenant, elites are top of the totem pole. The best warriors. They only get the really good missions. So it would make sense for the brutes to get the kill random civilian missions and just scope out the city while the elites kind of take care of the carriers and take care of more priority missions like Forerunner artifacts. Wink, wink.
You winking at Kristen?
So then we clear out that area, then we evacuate a bunch of people, and then we hop another Falcon, we do another on-rails flying shooting thing section, which, do you know if you can die in this part? Because you can?
Can
you? Way harder to die in.
I think the Banshees
if the Banshees target you and they're like on the other side of the Pelican and your AI's really dumb, you can die.
Falcon. You're in a Falcon,
whatever.
Well, there is a Pelican in there that picks up
that's true. Picks up the troops and the civilians.
But by the way, I felt like they had a really nice shot when you take off of the Pelican. I love that Pelican design. Love it.
Yeah, I've always liked the Pelican.
If only we could fly it one day.
You'll be happy in the next mission.
I think, is there one in this mission that lets you fly it? Or is
no,
that
it's only in New Alexandria. That's the only Easter egg that lets you fly a Pelican.
Sweet.
Nice. So then we go to the next section, and then this section was dumb for me playing. I remember it being hard the first time I played this because I didn't know what was going on. I probably wasn't paying enough attention to the dialogue either. So I think I ended up just trying to take everybody out. Did you guys clear everybody out? Like, there's a race in there, there's ghosts in there, and lots of brutes in there.
Well, I just I ditched David and just took a wraith for myself.
She did.
And just eliminated everyone.
She went on a wraith hunt.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fine, Krista. So I just did a thing that I liked. At this time, I had a free rod cannon. So when I dropped off, I just gave it to a marine, picked up a warthog, and then he just jumped in the sides. Then I had like a warthog with a fuel rod cannon.
Oh,
so that was kind of fun. I drove around with that. I like doing that. I like giving marines heavy weapons and getting them in vehicles with me.
We haven't really talked about that tactic at all yet. But it is a good tactic when you have people with you. Just give them an overpowered weapon and hopefully survive for a little while.
Yeah, I like to do that and give them sniper rifles and stuff because I suck with sniper rifles. So I'm like, okay, they can have it and I'll just drive. And I like doing that. I love this beach scene. I like the whole segment of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's probably like a firefight level mission, is it?
I think it
probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. You're turning on the kind of AA turrets and stuff like that and just cleaning out this whole area and fighting like up like kind of beachhead and up this kind of the tiers of this building. I mean, you can speed run it and run straight and push the button. But I always fight my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
So myself and Krista had some fun doing this. We died a few times.
Yeah, that's okay. But it was
good. We died from the two chieftains in the building.
Yeah, we got caught.
They are not conservative with their fuel rod cannons at all. If you are 2 feet in front of them, they don't care about the splash damage. They'll just shoot
like
you in
that.
The face.
I like that. Like, grunts won't do that, but brutes will. With the same weapon, they have like different AI in how they use a weapon. I always appreciated that.
The
good distinction.
Oh, I forget what I was going to say. Anyway, yeah, this is a hard section solo. But yeah, it's a good point that you could probably just go put the button and be done with it. And then, so we clear out the area, and then we go up and we do hit the button eventually. There's a guy, we don't know who that guy is that's keeled over. He's probably just a general of some sort, right next to the button. Did you guys notice that?
I didn't even cop that. Yeah. It's just the corpse there,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, dude right there.
There's a lot of corpses, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true, this mission.
And
also, we didn't talk about the fact that, like, if you kill a civilian in this mission, it's an automatic fail.
Oh, you die instantly.
Yeah, even if it's, like, accidentally. So I've done that so many times.
Oh, the worst part is the section where the brutes are, like, flailing around the humans, like, having, like, choking them out, and you're trying to save them, and then you accidentally shoot them, and then you're like, oh, I'm dead now.
Yep.
Oopsies.
It just kills you. Fails. It's weird.
So if you just let the brutes kill them, then you won't end the mission, but if you...
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, yeah. But if you try to save them and accidentally shoot them, nope, you're dead forever. Bungie uninstalls the game from your hard drive.
It's one of those hardcore missions.
So when you die co-op, though, so when one of you dies, is it just to do the classic Halo thing where you just have to get to a safe area and then the other guy spawns in, or do you both die?
You just wait to respawn. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, it kicks you from the co-op gameplay and then sends you a copy of, like, psychology books, mental health books. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you shooting people in video games?
Stop it. Yeah, and then we do have our final cutscene, and Kat is on the comms, and she's trying to locate everybody. And
The thing about this part of the cutscene that makes it seem like it wasn't 2 weeks is because Kat's so casual about it. She's like, hey, Six, what's up? It's not like, where have you been for 2 weeks? What the hell, dude?
I commented on that kind of at the beginning, the first mission, how they're just kind of very casual about everything. But that's highlighted again here. And maybe that's just because they're Spartans and they kind of lack that emotion. But it is a disconnect from what you just did, essentially.
Maybe it's because Kat knows that Noble Six is already kind of a lone wolf and isn't used to working with team members.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
All the same, you think they'd care more? I don't know. Be more urgent?
Well, especially since, like, the ship blew up, and I guess they probably just marked both of them as MIA once the ship blew up.
True.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do we want to do community feedback now, or do you want to do some trivia now? How are you guys feeling?
I'll do the feedback real quick, because I am not reading Matthew Lund's whole goddamn thing, quote, quick. But no, I did read through it before this time, so I'm ready. I'm ready for you, Matt. So, essentially, Matt hates this mission. Pretty much is what you can summarize.
He's very like, he is black not and white. Happy. He either really likes it, or he hates it.
He pretty much takes this mission apart. He's not happy with Bungie's take on it, the lore. He didn't like a lot of segments. He thinks they're too long, or one or two segments are too short. And the inconsistencies. He does call out the difference in the dates and the timelines and why people don't seem to care. He specifies like 9 days. I think he had I think when I said 2 weeks, I think I rounded up just to say it's the guts of 2 weeks that he's been missing.
Oh, okay.
From like the 14th to like the 22nd or something like that. So however many days that is. But yeah, overall, he is not impressed with his mission. It's pretty forgettable, he says. I liked a lot of the sections in his missions, but I can understand why someone wouldn't. It's not amazing mission, but I liked certain segments in it, and it was fun to play co-op. And then we had another comment from on the wrong page. Oh. Bear with me 2 seconds while I do a clicky. And do another clicky.
God damn it.
Then... Shut up, Krista. You better have Twitter open.
I'm prepared. I don't know what your deal is.
Are you, Krista?
Yeah.
Are you? Sorry. Andy Worth said he pretty much comments that like there's a lot of suicide grunts, a lot of grunt lives lost. He kind of touches on the same point I was getting at, that Exodus is the first mission that really has a change of tone of the game, that the chaos of a doomed planet really hits home. When you see a lot of dead civilians on the streets, like there's a lot of dead bodies and corpses in New Alexandria. And the mission is essentially you fighting and progressing a group of civilians and getting them to the evac site. But again, you see like ships being destroyed with people trying to evac on them. So it is darker. He thinks it was a very moving moment in Exodus, so he is quite different take on it than Matt's.
That brings up a good point, though. But, the evacuation scenes, well, there's a couple of them, but you don't, like, when I think of evacuation, I think of, like, you know, you're standing on the side of the ship or whatever, and you're like, okay, everybody, come on, get on. Like, we never have that moment as a Spartan. We're just kind of clearing the way. And then, you know, you see civilians here and there, and they're hurt or whatnot, trying to survive. But you never have that moment where you're, like, talking to civilians and telling them that, hey, I'm going to get you out of here.
No, Spartans don't talk to civilians. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, Spartans aren't even really supposed to exist at this point in the series. It's kind of just a military secret. Yeah. Spartans are kind of whispered about, but Oni is keeping all the information very close to their chest because of the ways that Spartans, you know, became Spartans. Mm-hmm. Not these particular Spartans, but just in general, Master Chief and all that. Yeah. So, I mean, Spartans are just kind of fabled, like, weird machine people at this point in civilians' eyes, and are probably about as scary as the aliens that they see around them.
That's true.
Civilians probably have no clue what they're looking at.
Yeah.
Just this gigantic human in armor that they're assuming, I suppose, is human, but, like,
I mean, at one point, civilians thought that Spartans were, like, robots, because they never talked. They just kind of looked at them, did their job, and just left, basically.
I feel like this is a good point to promote reading Fall of Reach by
Yes.
Island.
Do it.
I don't know if we've done that yet, but if you haven't done that yet and you're playing this game, read that. And that is the source of truth. And this, you know, you have to work around it when you're playing this campaign, but maybe play this campaign and then go back and read.
You're not going to appreciate Reach, the game, very much once you read this book, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. What else you got on Facebook?
That's it. I mean, I had two real comments.
I thought Nick was on there, too. Maybe not.
Nick, he normally tries to, but I haven't got anything from him in this post.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Slacker.
And it's Cepeda.
Cepeda.
See, nailed it.
Cepeda.
Cepeda. I got it.
Work on it.
I got it.
Krista, anything on Twitter?
Just one on Twitter from the Bad at Halo show. Shout out to you guys. You're awesome. It's just a warning to don't shoot civilians, and also this is the first time AI non-combatants are in Halo, so that this is the first time in Halo we actually see, like, civilians, because you don't see them in Halo 2, even though you're on Earth and in cities, but, and you don't see them in ODST either, because the city's been evacuated, so this is the first time we actually get to see, like, live civilians and just kind of the horrors of these Covenant invasions.
Or if you're playing in a chronological order, you don't see them anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
The first and only time.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Don't kill them.
Yeah, just leave them alone. Leave them be. Cool. What else we got? Anything else that we missed on the mission-wise?
No.
Any fun stuff to talk about?
Good trivia. Well, we've kind of already mentioned the fact that this is the only mission without elites in the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
If the player kills a civilian, obviously you die instantly. Similar to a level in Winter Contingency where killing a farmer will kill the player.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about that.
At the very beginning.
That's also in the very beginning. Most of the brutes don't have shields, which is interesting. Or weapons like needlers or needle rifles are extremely useful against them. That's an interesting thing to note. I never copped that. So only level where you start with wounded status. We kind of knew that already, and I can't remember anything else.
This is the last level to feature a drivable warthog.
Oh.
In the game.
In the game, yeah.
Interesting.
Because they're not in New Alexandria. They're not in Oni Sword Base or Back to Sword Base or whatever it's called. Sword Base Part 2. And then they're not in Pillar of Autumn, because Pillar of Autumn, there are vehicles, but they're not big open fields that you could actually use vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's all you against Covenant vehicles.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Interesting. Never cop that.
The other thing, I guess the last thing I wanted to mention is when you are in that end cutscene after you're talking to Kat, you do, like, at that moment, for me anyway, you kind of do get that sense, like, this is not going well, and I don't think we're going to win this. We're going to win this, it's going to be a miracle. So it's all about it's not about trying to save the day anymore. It's just about trying to survive.
It's trying to save as many lives as possible and get as many military assets off the planet as possible, because there's a lot of military vehicles and ships and stuff like that still trapped on this planet, and they need the assets for the rest of the war. So,
I also, Matt did bring up another interesting point, which I never actually realized. Right before this, the mission, before Operation Uppercut, you're supposed to be like, the UNSC fleet, like, is something like 60% of the fleet is on its way and should be here within 48 hours. But this is a 2-week period now, and there's no mention of any of those reinforcements. There's no mention of what happened.
That's a good point.
Unless it's assumed that the Covenant fleet wiped them out as they arrived. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually sure. I can't remember. Maybe there's something tying in with the book here with the Pillar of Autumn's leaving.
Maybe that's Bungie's way of explaining why there, or like how there can be such a gap that they're still fighting. That they ended up sending a bunch of people. You know, it was 2 days later, but at least that force was able to fend off the Covenant for the whatever 10-9 day gap that it is between when you can get there. So maybe that was how in their minds it made sense. But it's a good point.
So thank you, Matt, for reminding us about that. Many lores, there are many gaps in the lore in this game. But anyway, overall, somewhat enjoyable mission.
Yeah, it's pretty okay.
As I said, I like how it changes the tone of the game. That's probably the biggest takeaway I think I get from it. And definitely with the end cutscene. I don't know if we want to discuss that here. But like,
what's that? Into the next mission, you mean?
Does it start with the end? Is that one where they're in the building?
No, that's the end of New Alexandria.
Apologies.
Boo. We'll cover that next time. So that will do it for our debriefing of Halo Reach's Exodus mission. On the next episode, we've talked about New Alexandria. That's what we'll be covering next time. So play that mission. Send us your thoughts, podcastevolved@gmail.com, or tweet us at podcastevolve. And we will see you guys next time. Evolved.
Yep. Evolved.
Evolved.
Bitches.
All right.